Shoftim Perek Yud Gimel begins the saga of a small nation scattered in the cities of the west coast of Eretz Yisrael, known as the Plishtim, who are identified by Chazal as being a group who were not part of the original seven Amim that we were supposed to exterminate. They had come from Crete, from Cyprus, from the Greek islands somehow, and settled into Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Plishtim actually, as kind of a scattered group, were also a fairly small nation. It's interesting that Plishtim very strongly seems to be the modern derivation Palestinians, the word Palestine, from Philistine, from who was there, and yet they were a small group in numbers. And their domination of Klal Yisrael is going to be very unusual. In all the other cases we've seen so far in Sefer Shoftim, that some nation, frequently a large one, frequently one with historic ties to Klal Yisrael in the past, comes to dominate Klal Yisrael because we acted poorly in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then once they are defeated, they flee, never to return, and never come back to dominate Klal Yisrael. But the Plishtim instead come and go. Klal Yisrael wages many wars against them. The victory always is determined by our worthiness on a ruchnius, on a spiritual level, rather than the size of the armies. But even this small nation can dominate us when we're not worthy. And they'll continue to make trouble for us all the way through the times of David HaMelech several hundred years later. So the Perek begins by describing how Klal Yisrael had really sunk to a new low, a general decline. By Yosifu b'nei Yisrael la'asos hara b'nei Hashem, and the Klal Yisrael, the children of Yisrael, continued to do that which was evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayetnem Hashem b'yad plishtim arboim shana. And Hashem gave them over into the hands of the Plishtim for 40 years. We saw the Plishtim much earlier with Avraham Avinu, making a deal, Avimelech Melech Plishtim, that we should leave them alone, including his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, which caused trouble during the days of Yehoshua, that we were still honoring our side of the agreement, even though they weren't. But they really should not have been as big a problem for us as these other nations, but now is when they become a serious threat. And so the Plishtim are a problem, and one of the Shvatim down in the region of the Plishtim to the south, Yehuda always has a problem, but this is Shevet Dan, which in fact has so much trouble that eventually later in Sefer Shoftim we will see them seek out an entirely new territory far to the north when they want to escape the fact that they can't defeat the Plishtim down in their rightful area. Pasuk Beis, Vayhi ish echad mitzara mimishpachas hadoni. And there was a man from the city of Tzara, from the town of Tzara, from the family of Dan. The Shevet Dan is a very unique tribe compared to the rest of Klal Yisrael. All of the originators of the Shvatim, the 12 Bnei Yaakov, had multiple sons, which caused multiple families, multiple Batei Av, clans within each Shevet, except Shevet Dan. Shevet Dan was only one family, Shucham, the Shuchami, Dan's son Chusham, sometimes transposed as Shucham, and all of the Dan families came from the same clan. They were all much more tightly related than the various cousins and extended cousin relationships in the other Shvatim. This, too, will play a part in the story of a story at the end of Sefer Shoftim, a fascinating story called Pesel Micha, where Shevet Dan will play a major role. So there was a man from Tzara, from the family of the Danites, Ushemo Manoach. And his name was Manoach. By calling him an Ish, it signifies that he was a great person. But we will see he was not an educated person. He did not really play the dominant role in his own family, in a manner of speaking, in sneistic manner of speaking. We will see that his wife wore the pants in the family, as a way of putting it. He was secondary to her. But he was very pious, very religious, very well known for his Gemilas Chasadim. This is the story that we heard earlier when Boaz was the Shofet Ivtzan, that Boaz made as many as 120 simchas and never invited Manoach. And Manoach did not make any kind of big deal out of it. And Boaz himself would be punished deeply for slighting Manoach. So Manoach is a person who served HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the man Lois says, according to the abilities that he was given. And so his pure heart and his complete dedication to Hashem It was a very positive aspect of him. Ushemo Manoach is another sign that he was righteous. When somebody is wicked, it says, the Novel Shemo, for example. We'll see in Sefer Shmuel, the word Shemo, his name comes after the name. But Ushemo Manoach, Ushemo Elkanah, Ushemo Mordechai, as we say in Megillas Esther, that is a sign of great righteousness. So Manoach is a very righteous man. V'ishto akara v'lo yalada. But his wife was barren, and she did not give birth. The wife of Manoach, we'll talk more about her next time, but she was a very righteous woman, so righteous that she was worthy to see Malachim, that Manoach himself wasn't on that level. But between the two of them, Chazal tell us in Bamidbar Rabbah, a lot of the stories of Shimshon show up in Bamidbar Rabbah, which makes sense. The Parsha of Nazirus is in Parshas Naso, early on in Sefer Bamidbar. And the Chazal tell us that Manoach and his wife had blamed each other for the fact that they did not have any children. She said it was because he wasn't providing her with what she needed to have kids, that it was some physiological weakness in him. He blamed her for being barren. And the Medrash tells us very importantly that when there is machlokas like that, a righteous son cannot be born. There has to be peace between the husband and wife in order for a child, especially a great child, a tzaddik, a gibor chayil, to be born. There has to be peace. Machlokas can disrupt everything. And in fact, that's why we're going to see that the Malach chooses to go to Mrs. Manoach rather than to Manoach himself, because if he had gone to Manoach and said, Manoach, you're right, it's her, she's the Akara, she's the one who can't have children, then he would have had weapons in the endless marital battle that can happen between husband and wife. As he could say, see, I was right, you were wrong. Instead, the person in the wrong was the one who was approached and was encouraged to appease her partner. She was the one who couldn't have children, but she was blaming Manoach, so she was the one who was informed that it was her issue and that that was going to be solved in this situation. And the last point, the Ramah Mipano, who is very into ideas many Sephardic Gedolim are into, in this case Gilgulim, suggests that her name, she was a Gilgul of the wife of On Ben Peles, who was a righteous woman who saved On Ben Peles from being part of the great Machlokas of Korach. Because she had saved her husband from Machlokas, she was going to be worthy of being part of the mitzvah of avoiding Machlokas. And later on, spoiler alert, the Malach in this story is going to be named Peli, which might be where the Ramah Mipano gets that idea. More about Mrs. Manoach and what is to come.